Why don't we do our mission statement? Together? We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We're a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Wow. There was a judge interviewing a man regarding his divorce. And he asked the man, "What are the grounds for your divorce?" And the man replied, "Well, about 4 acres, a little nice home in the middle of the property, and a stream running through it." The judge cut him off, saying, no, I mean, what is the foundation of your case?" And the man replied, "Well, it's made of concrete, brick, and mortar." Again, the judge cut him off. No, what are your relations like?" The man shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, you know, I have an aunt and an uncle living here in town, and so does my wife," right? Bewildered, the judge asked, "Please, is there any infidelity in your marriage?" And the man replied, "Well, yes, both my son and daughter have stereos, but we don't necessarily like the music. But the answer to the question is yes." Frustrated, the judge asked him, "Sir, do you ever beat your wife up?" The man responded, "Yes, well, yes, every day of the week. I get up early in her every day." Finally, the judge shouted out, "Hey, dude, why are you getting a divorce?" The man replied, "Well, I never really wanted a divorce. My wife does. She says she can't communicate with me." The English language is such a fine art, isn't it? Yeah. I am aware of this moment now, and I am consciously engaging my spiritual faculties. Can you affirm that with me one more time? I am aware of this moment now and consciously engaging my spiritual faculties. Task we got to do all day long. Yes, the English language is a fine art. It's just like looking at the birds of the air. Often people will say one thing and the listener will take it in a completely different direction, creating an entirely different story line and meaning of what was said. Just as the movie this afternoon points out, it says it over and over and over again. Just as 15th century theology did with the Bible, right? As they were breaking away from Constantine's empire, using the Bible as a weapon to teach the ways of repentance, original sin, eternal suffering and damnation. Using Jesus as their poster boy hanging out there on that cross. Right? As opposed to studying what Jesus taught and sharing the wisdom of Jesus' mystical way of living, so that we might know that we live, move, and have our being in this field of infinite possibilities, of goodness and wonder. And all we have to do is to rise out of our self-inflicted nonsense. And that's what the word sin and unity really means, self-inflicted nonsense. We have to rise up out of our self-inflicted nonsense and return home to the infinite one's grand estate, Just like Jesus, that story Jesus told about the prodigal son. All we got to do is decide to rise up and return back to that awareness of the goodness and wonder that exists all around us. Then follow some basic spiritual laws of being. Take, for instance, one of my favorite Bible verses, Matthew 6, 24 through 34, that Mark already spoke of. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body, your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they?" Can any one of you, by worrying, nobody here ever worries, can any one of you ever, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? "Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? But strive first for the kingdom of goodness and its harmony and balance, and all these things will be given unto you." Strive first for the kingdom of heaven and its harmony and balance, and all these things will be given to you. You know, for years I struggled with the teachings I was told were in the Bible. Fear and intimidation. The fear of not being good enough to merit the kingdom of heaven. That I was a miserable sinner and that I should stop doing all the things I love to do so that I could suffer and be really good at suffering, so that I might get to go to the kingdom of heaven after I die and get to meet St. Pete at the pearly gates as a sign that I had done a good job of all that suffering. So you know what? I did a really good job of suffering. I don't know if you ever took up that game plan, doing a really good job of suffering. And whenever I achieved a degree of success, I found a way to short-circuit it. Because, you know, rich people, they don't get to go to heaven. Right? And then I stumbled into the depths of despair and found my way into Unity, where I learned a very different understanding of what the Bible shares, a spiritual understanding of some of the basic laws of the universe, and insights into the spiritual journey that we're all on. And that particular verse, "Look at the birds," was one that really confounded me. Because on one hand, it was a sign of hope. And on the other hand, the words traditionally translated that word righteousness and His kingdom, I heard as enslavement. And that I needed to comply to these religious codes and dogma, which really didn't make any sense at all, and reinforced our Western culture's very dualistic, materialistic thinking. Then I discovered two things. all because of a little book called Prayers of the Cosmos, written by Neil Douglas Coates. The first thing that I learned was that the word righteousness, when translated directly into English from Aramaic, doesn't mean moralistically superior or higher sense of the law, but rather means to find harmony and balance with. And was actually a carpenter's term that meant to build your house, the place you dwell, in harmony and balance with the land around it. Righteous means to find harmony and balance with. Some 30 years later, I'm still mystified at what a huge difference that makes in the reading. And what a huge difference it means, meaning has on my insights into the world around me. Harmony is not a word used just in music, where you got to sing everything in the right and perfect key. Right? Rather, harmony is about living and being in the field of life and aware of the ebbs and the flows and how life lifts us and moves us or pulls us sometimes in completely different directions than what we're meant to be, what we think we're meant to be. And to really, really understand this, you have to know what the word faith actually means. It does not mean belief, but rather faith empowers us to see beyond our beliefs and the appearances of what we have been taught is out here to enlighten us. Faith is a power that enlightens us to the ebbs and flows of life and how they are lifting us up into a completely different sense of awareness of what life is. What if that man in the opening story joke that I told actually knew English words often meant more than just one thing and depended on the way the words were being used? You know, maybe he might not be getting a divorce, you think? The other thing I learned about the Bible that really has overwhelmed me is that they didn't use pronouns in ancient Aramaic, Hebrew, or in Greek, or in Latin. Right? And God wasn't a he. Nobody ever says that, right? God is he. No, God wasn't a he. And it wasn't his righteousness. Right? They began using pronouns and profile modifiers around the 7th century. And since most people in the Holy Roman Empire at that time were pagans, right, and believed the supreme God was a man, a he, they just naturally extended the pronouns into their translation of the ancient texts. The original Aramaic would have read, "The kingdom of heaven and its harmony and balance." The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of infinite possibilities and its harmony and balance. Think about that for a moment. What would it mean to in all things seek first the kingdom of infinite possibilities and its harmony and balance. To seek first the kingdom of infinite possibilities and to be in harmony and balance with its field of ever-expanding potential. Can you imagine that? The phrase definitely doesn't refer to an afterlife experience and never did. But rather, it is all about the here and the now. And opening our minds up and our thoughts and the power of our words and then seeking to align ourselves with this field of infinite possibilities. When somebody tells you something that you don't want to hear, or you're listening to the TV news and they poke your buttons, what happens? Do you go down the rabbit hole? Right? Or do you align yourself in harmony and balance with the field of living energy, allowing it to lift you up over whatever that you didn't like? Wow, right? In the Gospel of Matthew, after that long day of teaching and healing, Jesus got into the boat and set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. As you might expect, he fell asleep. But while he slept, a windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by waves. The disciples woke him up. Jesus, 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 Lord, save us, we're going to perish. Right? And he said to them, why are you afraid? You of little faith. Right? Then he got up and rebuked the winds, and there was calm. Interesting story, right? Which becomes even more interesting and powerful when you turn your attention away from Jesus as God's only Son who was sent here to save you, to understanding the metaphysical insight that it shares. And metaphysical interpretation is where every person, place, or thing within a story actually is happening in you. Here, Jesus, who represents the Christ awareness, the observer mind of us, after a hard day of work in the manifest realm, gets into a boat, the place that we consciously dwell, and goes out onto the sea of infinite possibilities. And then falls to sleep. You ever fall asleep after a busy day of work? Yeah? As a result, our untrained spiritual faculties go into fear thinking. Do you ever go into fear thinking? Right? When we do, our imagination runs away with us out there in the storm on that sea of infinite possibilities. Can you imagine what the imagination does on that sea of infinite possibilities when you're in fear? Oh my gosh. All you got to do is turn on the TV to see what happens. Right? The Christ within us awakens and rebukes the winds of that storm. Yes, if we are aware of it, the observer mind within us, the Christ in us, can open up that place of inner knowing within us and then deny the power of the storms that we have just created. Stating, you have little faith. Look past appearances and know that the source of all life, all love, all power surrounds and enfolds you wherever you go. God, remember that prayer at the end of service each week. And then turn within and connect with the Christ of us. With the observer mind, and seek first the harmony and balance of the kingdom of heaven and its ever-expanding field of infinite possibilities, and connect with it. This teaching has had a huge impact in my life, moving me away from the conflicted religious dogma and discipline that I was raised with into an expanding spiritual teaching about the life force. As I think about it, this teaching and how I might live in harmony and balance with the force, I realized I had many lessons on the topic. Spiritually, when you have something you need to learn, it will just show up. And the question becomes, will you take the time to pause and realize the lesson that you have learned? Until you do and connect with the spiritual core and your spiritual core and engage it, we'll be like a traveler who believes the world is against him, drawing the same circumstances over and over and over again until he discovers the secret and releases a hidden magnet that draws that learning experience to him. Do you know why that's why you get those bad experiences? Because you have a magnet that says, beep, I need to learn something. Oh my gosh. Mike Matoy, my first minister at Unity in Chicago, loved to share this story of a lost traveler. I came to a town I've never been to before, and I walked down the street. And there's this deep hole in the sidewalk. I'm lost. I'm helpless. And somehow I just fell into it, into that hole. It wasn't my fault. And it takes forever to find the way out. The next time I come to that town, I walk down that same street. And there that deep hole in the sidewalk is. I pretend I don't see it, but I fall in anyway. I can't believe I fall into that same hole. It wasn't my fault. Well, at least the hole is familiar and doesn't take quite as long to get out. Later, I find myself walking down that same street, and there's that deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there. My eyes are open. I know where I am. But somehow, I fall in again. You see, it's just become a habit. A habit to fall in that hole? Now I know it's my fault, and I climb out easily. Soon after, I realize there I am walking down that same street, and I see the deep hole in the sidewalk, so I choose to walk around it. Next time I come to town, I go down a completely different street. Engaging the discipline of spirit takes a little work in this materialistic-oriented realm of our mortal mind. Most of us, like that man in the opening joke story, don't understand that our words have many different meanings depending upon the realm of our awareness. When we engage the power of our faith and align our spiritual faculties with it, it gives us insights into why we continually fall into those same holes. I think it's curious how we cling to old ideas and old beliefs and old images that were instilled in our minds as we grew up. How they obstruct our path and bind us, and yet we tend to fall into the same circumstances over and over and over again. When we engage an understanding of our spiritual faculties and learn how they operate in us, the signals and the prompts that they send us, we learn to avoid the holes without ever falling in. When we are asked to travel an unfamiliar path, our spiritual faculties can give us insights into the possible experiences of events that actually lie before us. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. And yet your Heavenly Father provides for them. Know that you are of more value than they. So seek first the kingdom of infinite possibilities and its harmony and balance in every good thing your heart desires will come to you. Wow. Know that you walk, move, and have your being in God, in the living energy. And then you can feel its presence. To know it, and you must align yourself in harmony with it. Not fight it, not resist it. The first step in learning to bring our thoughts and our words and action into harmony with it. That's our first step, is learning to bring our thoughts, our words, and our actions in harmony with this life force. When we do, we will all know God, this infinite force that moves all around us. Yoda certainly did. Why can't we? I am aware of this moment now, and I am consciously engaging my spiritual faculties. Can you all affirm that with me one more time? I am aware of this moment now. I am consciously engaging my spiritual faculties. One more time. I am aware of this moment now. I am consciously engaging my spiritual faculties. I invite